He's the one, the only Perry Seibert with the Michigan Movie Critics Guild each week on the Lucy Ann Lance Show, 1290 WLBY. I did not see the first one, but now the second is out. The Devil Wears Prada 2. Everyone's talking about this.
Everyone, you know, does anybody really want a sequel that it took 20 years to get around to? Yeah, they did. We know already. It's a huge box office hit. The biggest opening of Meryl Streep's career, right? And we'll talk over the next few minutes if that's the movie worthy of it or if that's just really savvy marketing and giving the people what they want.
I'm feeling fab. I'm feeling free. I feel exceptional.
You are here to help us through our current scandal.
Click, 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 click everywhere.
But I did not hire you, and all I need to do is bide my time until you fail. Won't you take the train, dear?
Be on time. Just wait, I'm coming.
I'm going to make something of this job.
You could write a book.
The definitive Miranda Priestly expose.
May the bridges I burn light my way.
Wait.
I hope that's not what you're wearing to the dinner. That's all.
Why does she hate her so much?
Well, she hates everybody. It's not personal. This is what this character is. She is an ice queen. She has one goal in life, which is to put out this magazine, and she's going to put out this magazine and devote all of her attention and time to that and nothing else. And if anybody other than Meryl Streep playing this, it would be almost unwatchable. But it's not. Meryl Streep is playing it. The first Devil Wears Prada is a very odd mix of female empowerment, fashion fantasy, and I guess woman coming of age story. I rewatched going into this, and I had the exact same reaction I had the first time, which is there is a lot of good stuff here, and there is a lot of really not good stuff here. Basically, everything having to do with her boyfriend in the first movie, who's a terrible character, who's poorly written and played by an actor without any charisma whatsoever, Adrian Grenier. If you watched Entourage, you know what I'm talking about. So I was so happy to hear that Adrian Grenier is not in the sequel. I was like, okay, I will give this a shot. The first movie is basically, it is a film that is given over to all its supporting players. It is a film that Meryl Streep, Stanley Tucci, and Emily Blunt walk away with. Because Anne Hathaway is just playing the straight one. They all get to be crazy and wild and incredibly funny. And they all get really good scenes that deepen those characters. And Anne Hathaway's character is just trying to please them. It's a weird movie energetically for me, Lucien. I was hoping they would do something different rhythm-wise with two. And what they've done is they've made the same movie again. They very quickly dump a whole bunch of exposition in the first 10 minutes of this movie to get them all back together. Anne Hathaway, whose character ends the first movie finally leaving the magazine because she does not have the cold, hard center that's required to be there. She doesn't want to be that person and goes back to be with her boyfriend and gets a job doing actual journalism, which is what she wanted to do in the first place. 20 years later, she's winning an award for this expose she did at a newspaper, the newspaper that hires her when she leaves the first movie. And as she's receiving this award, everybody at the table where she works gets a text at the same time that they've all been fired because the media company has sold her newspaper, so she's jobless.
Oh.
At the same time that Meryl Streep's character is suffering a huge PR fallout for a disaster that happened with something that was written in the magazine. And so they hook it up to put them together again. And that is the setup. They proceed to reenact the exact same problems from the first film with some subtle callbacks to those. If you love that first film, and there are a lot of people who do. It's a movie full of fan service, Lucien. For people who really wanted another film, they've got it. But they didn't get another film. They got the same film. Everybody's just a little older.
So it's interesting. As implausible as that sounds, the text all coming at the same time, everything happening, the confluence of it, in today's world, that's exactly what happens. So that's not too far-fetched. I mean, with what we've seen in media, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And there are attempts to actually, like, deal with that, kind of. They don't really. It's an attempt to make the film deeper than it is when all it is fan service. They just want to spend more time with these characters. And so this movie lets you do that. If you love that first movie, you're going to enjoy this one, to no doubt. If you don't care for the first movie, or if you happen to revisit it for the first time in 20 years, the week before going to see this one, and you're reminded of all the things that were kind of good and kind of bad in it, it's here again. Look, Lucy Ann, there are two times I laughed, and laughed really hard, both times from Emily Blunt in this movie, who gets two fabulous, almost one-liners. I'm going to tell you off air. I'm not going to ruin it, Lucienne, but there is one of the single greatest lines of dialogue I've heard in a long time.
Oh, wow.
From Emily Blunt in this movie. I'm not going to ruin it. This is my tease to get you into the theater if you really want to see this. But it is slick in a way that, you know, the first movie feels glossy. It feels like one of those great fashion magazines. This movie feels slick. It feels really packaged and really corporate, and it feels like it's just giving me a product. I don't think anybody loves this movie, other than the fact that they all got to hang out again and make this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to complain about getting to watch Stanley Tucci and Meryl Streep. I'm just not. Yeah. It's going to take a lot for me to be offended by this. David Frankel got back around to this in part because he made a film called, oh, what was the name of that movie? It's so awful. A Collateral Beauty. 10 years ago, in between these two movies. Collateral Beauty is a movie so bad that David Frankel went to movie jail. It's a real thing. It's when people do work so badly that you can't get hired again. He went, started doing TV. He made a movie in 2022 that nobody saw. This was his only way to actually make a movie again. Let's go back to this. I don't know if he'll get another chance. I guess this was a huge hit. The biggest opening of Meryl Streep's career. The biggest opening
what?
Of a comedy movie.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, it made like some like $70 million opening weekend. It's like it's the biggest weekend of her career. It's the biggest opening weekend for any comedy since Pitch Perfect 2.
But don't you think people were expecting different or more? Because I'm hearing from a lot of people who were really excited to go, and it was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It is. We gave you what we gave, you know, I'm not going to say it's a ripoff. They didn't do it. It's not crass. It's lazy. You want better for this, especially for a movie that had so much area to improve on from that first film.
Yeah.
You know, part of it is the decision to, I don't know what you, Meryl Streep's character is so well formulated in that first movie. She is deepened. She's not changed, but she is deepened. And you can't do that again. We already know how deep she is, right? They can't. So unless you're going to change her in some formative way to make her a not fundamentally, but at least a slightly different person, but she's not. She's the same person. She's so you can write really awful, mean lines of dialogue and let her say it. And it's funny because it's Meryl Streep.
Yeah, but Anne Hathaway, her character in this, it seems to me that maybe she has the upper hand, and maybe that's what's different here. Does she have the upper hand because she was brought in to help in a situation that Meryl Streep got herself into online that people are coming after her now. And so she wants this, you know, Anne Hathaway's character to fix this.
Yes.
Before Anne Hathaway was...
Well, okay. She doesn't, actually. She hates that she's there. She doesn't want her to fit. She's not the person who hires her.
Right.
Back.
She does say that in that clip we heard there. I understand that. Yes. But she needs her.
Well, the movie needs her. I don't know that she's not right about this. you know, it's the first movie, the first half of the first movie is her trying to get Meryl Streep's character's approval, and she's not getting it, and she has a conversation with Stanley Tucci about it, and Tucci sets her straight and says, well, you've got to do the job. And they have it's the same arc here. She wants Miranda's approval again, and she's not getting it, and then they have the same conversation basically. I'm like, okay, we've done this. you've made the same movie. You've made it it is the stuff that is not good in this movie is different than the stuff that is not good in the first movie, but it's about the same rhythm and mix of stuff that's good and doesn't and is bad.
And doesn't that beg the question, if it was so bad for Anne Hathaway's character in the first movie, why would she come back in the second movie for the same, you know, going after her again?
Right. Right. You would think that over the course of 20 years, she learned some self-esteem since she's become a very successful journalist. It's like, what are you? I don't understand, other than we're doing it again, because that's what.
So was it bad writing for The Devil Wears Prada 2?
Is it bad writing? It's bad is too strong a word. The hardest thing I'll say is it's a little lazy. It's a little obvious.
Okay.
You thought you knew if you got everybody together, you could make the movie. And that's what they did. They got everybody together and made the movie. No one was dying to tell a new story here. And they didn't.
Well, maybe that's all the fans of this wanted, too.
Maybe. But is that a good movie?
No.
No. So that's what we're talking about.
Is it nice to look at with the fashion and what's going on and seeing that world?
Sure. Yes. If you love the fashion world, sure. I love how many, just like in the first movie, there are easily 24 people who are just on the perimeter. If you know anything about fashion, I mean, I recognize like maybe 5 of them. I don't know all this stuff by any means, but I'm enough to know. Okay. I get that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's okay. There are more of them in the first film. There are more, there's more name dropping in the first film of really famous designers and whatnot, but it's, and all of them, I'm sure, were dying to get in this, to, you know, get themselves or their clothing into this movie. That's what it feels like. The first one at least feels like a human story. This feels like it's doing a lot of work to sell a lot of really high-end products.
Well, you know, that only goes so far. And it sounds to me like there will not be a Devil Wears or Prada 3.
There will not be a third one in 20 years or in 5. I don't think so. Unless Meryl Streep ends up needing a lot of money very quickly, I doubt it. And I don't think they do it without her, because they should.
And there you have it. Devil Wears Prada 2. I guess I'm going to forego this.
Well, if you haven't seen the first one, you know, check the first one out. And if you end up loving that, then by all means, check this out.
All right.
But, is this good? No. Might you enjoy it? Sure. But is it good? No, it's not.
He is Perry Seibert with the Michigan Movie Critics Guild on the air each week right here on Ann Arbor's Talk Station 1290 WLBY.